Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Soundbite. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or Star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Bray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
You know, it's true. You are listening to Sound Bites. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
You give us a call at the numbers you just heard, and we'll be taking your questions on computers. And maybe we'll even be giving you answers. You never know. But before we do that, we are going to go to the news. And this week, since he's not ready, we'll start with Dave.
No, I'm all set. I just get my headsets. I'm ready to blow my eardrums out here. Surprise, folks. Another virus traveling around here. It's called the Party Virus. And what happens is you wind up getting a email saying, oh, finally got the pictures from the party. Check it out. And when you look at the attachment, it looks like a harmless, attachment that you go to a particular website.
Somebody
just a link.
Somebody actually put some thought into this one. So
yeah,
you know,
really.
That.
And when you actually go to it, you get infected, and it just sits there and messes up your whole machine. Like the rest of them, no lives in these kids.
Here's the real thing that's clever about this one. Most of the websites end in .com. Windows programs can end in .com.
Yep.
So you look at it and you think, oh, it's a website. Mm. But it's not a website. It's a program. Very clever.
It's myphoto.yahoo.com. So you think it's a Yahoo website.
Right.
If you type that into your browser, Yahoo has put up this big page about, oh, here's a virus. It's not us. And
don't
yell at us.
And another one that's going around and it's going to rear its ugly head very soon is the CIH virus, which if you wind up getting that, can rewrite your BIOS and do your hard drive on the 26th of each month.
So update your viruses. What's going on in the Mac world?
We had some big almost anti-news. Apple just issued a press release. They didn't actually have a big party this time. because they just had the big party for the iMac. What they've done is they've increased the speeds on the professional PowerMac G4 line and dropped the price. We now have at the low end an 800 megahertz. That was the high end a year ago for $1,599. And at the now the high end is a dual 1 gigahertz, and they dropped the price $500, so now that starts at $29.99. They're also including the SuperDrive in the high-end model and the mid-range, and they've also gone to the NVIDIA GeForce 4 video card with 64 megs of DDR memory that can process over 1.1 billion polygons per second, so you can get those extra quake frames.
Yeah, right, and that's important these days.
That's too much.
Yep. For those of you who are using Windows 2000, Microsoft has bundled all of their bug fixes and security fixes into the Windows 2000 Security Roll-Up Package, SRP1. If you're going to download that, be aware it's a 17-megabyte download, but if you are running Windows 2000, you definitely need this. If you're running Service Pack 2, this is the stuff that came after Service Pack 2. So go to Microsoft's website and download it. If you are running Windows XP, you can download the new USB 2.0 drivers. Those of you running USB 1.1, where you can download things at 12 megabits per second, USB 2 is 147 megabits per second, so you get a slight increase in speed, assuming that your hardware will handle it. We're going to go to the phones now at 222-1180 in the 585 area code, 800-295-1180 for those of you outside the 585 area code, and apparently no matter where you are, if you're a Verizon Wireless customer, it's star 1180. So remember that 1180 number. Our first caller, David from Webster. Welcome, David. What's your question?
Good afternoon. I have a PC running Windows 98 Second Edition, and I put a new monitor on it, a KDS XF7E.
Mm-hmm.
And it started up fine. Then when the power went out a couple nights ago, and then the power came back on, when the machine booted up, the monitor came up at a screen area much larger, like the 640 by 480.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went into the display properties, I couldn't drag the little slider over to where I normally keep it, which is 800 by 600.
Did you go in and change it to a plug-and-play monitor?
plug-and-play monitor.
Yeah.
What probably happened is during the power failure, your video driver or video settings got corrupted.
Wound up getting reset it.
So
reset.
It's going back to the lowest common denominator.
So if you go into the control panel, under display, you can go into the advanced, and under there, as far as the monitor, select monitor, you can choose a plug-and-play monitor.
Under monitor, I should choose plug-and-play. So
yep.
I don't need
under display.
Well, you also may want to check your video card in the display properties.
Well, what I'm looking at is it has a Rage LT Pro AGP2X.
Yeah, and then...
And that's probably right.
Yeah, that's correct, but under advanced, if
okay.
you click on that, it'll open up another window, and one of them settings is monitor. Now, you can change that. If it says just default monitor, what you can do is click on the change button and change that to a Microsoft plug-and-play monitor.
Okay, it says what's checked right now is automatically detect plug-and-play monitors.
That's the one.
That's the one you want.
And apparently isn't auto-detecting. What does it say for monitor type?
Monitor type, it says plug-and-play monitor.
Yeah. Or the monitor got damaged during the...
Could have.
Was the monitor... off
when the power went
No, it was in screensaver mode.
Screensaver mode. See?
You might want to try deleting, go into device manager, delete the monitor.
And have it refind it.
Yeah, try that. That's about the only thing we can think of at the moment.
Okay.
And see if that works, you win. If it doesn't, you may
take
need
it. You might want to take the monitor back since it's still new.
I got a 2-year warranty on the monitor. So.
There you go.
I'll go that way.
There you go.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Thanks. Our next caller, Tony from Rochester. Welcome, Tony. What's your question?
I'm trying to get rid of a menu. What has happened was, I put on Pro Pool, a game that we normally play, and all of a sudden I get on the screen, chat connection, which I don't know what the hell they're talking about. I never, signed up with chat connection. How do I get rid of it?
Where does this show up in your browser or somewhere else?
When you say browser, it's on the screen.
Well,
in other words, you see what it is? Pro Pool is on there.
Yeah.
This here come right on the top of the Pro Pool.
Okay. And if you shut down Pro Pool, it goes away?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Here's another thing, though. If I put in the disc for Pro Pool, in a computer, in a CD-ROM, right?
Yep.
I don't get this dumb connection, this chat connection.
Right.
But if I hit the icon on desktop for Pro Pool, then Pro Pool comes on, and immediately this thing comes down, boom, and overshadows.
Yep. What happens is one of the things that you can do with programs like Pro Pool is play them over the Internet with other people.
Yeah.
Part of playing them is being able to chat with those people over the Internet.
And connecting to the game server.
Yeah, you might have to go into the setups. Into the settings of this particular game and turn that feature off.
Now, I'm not really familiar with Pro Pool as a game. I'm not sure where you find that, but it might be under, it certainly is probably something like preferences or settings, and you would find it under the file or the edit or the tools menu, that sort of thing.
Well,
and then what you want to do is look through there and look for a checkbox that says something like chat, live chat, chat connection, connect to server, that sort of fare.
Network
and uncheck
gaming.
It. Network gaming. Uncheck that.
In other words, I should try to get Pro Pool and look through it and see.
Yeah, you've got to
look through the menus.
Or you know what you can do is on all games now, because they've done away with manuals, go into the help and check about, do a search on networking. It'll tell you how to turn it on and turn it off.
Yep.
Wait a minute. Say that again so I can mark it
go
out.
Into the help issue on the game. Usually there's always a help
menu.
Right.
And do a search on networking, and it'll tell you how to turn it on and turn it off.
The chat?
Yep.
Chat or networking, that sort of thing, okay?
Very good.
Thank you very much. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave and Steve and Rob on the buttons and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites, only on 11.8.
Computer talk you can understand. It's Soundbites, America's longest-running computer show on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Once again, here's Nick Francesco.
Yeah, understand this. I am Nick Francesco. I'm sitting here with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton on the buttons, and we are talking to Ken from Hilton.
Wait, one thing, though, we should jump into.
Yeah.
Before, with all these folks with the power outage, And if your power is still out, and if you're listening to us on a battery-driven radio, hopefully, one thing we would suggest is that you...
Well, you're sitting there with a hand crank.
There you go. Definitely turn off the machine and wait until the power comes back on and it's stable so it doesn't dip off again, because sometimes they can turn it on, it can come on for a few minutes and then go back off. Make sure it's going to be on constantly. Your computer, most likely, if it was on and the power went out, is going to start up and want to start up and do a scan disk and in safe mode. Don't worry about it. Let it do it. When it's done and gets into the safe mode, just go to the start button and tell it to restart, and it should boot right back up into the normal Windows.
There you go.
I went trying to find a battery-operated radio, and I didn't have one anymore.
I know, they didn't.
So I had to listen to my iPod, which I had charged.
One of the things that I always wanted to buy was one of those, they have radios that you can actually crank up with a flywheel and just let them roll, and they're actually kind of cool. Our next caller, Ken from Hilton. Welcome, Ken. What's your question?
I have running a Windows 95 on one of my computers, and I installed Norton Utilities Antivirus 5.0.
Yeah.
What ended up happening after I did that, now I get when I first started up, I'm getting a message that cannot find a device file that may be needed to run Windows or Windows application.
When you installed it, did you install everything, including that crash guard and the clean sweep and all that other stuff?
No.
Just the antivirus software?
It was just the antivirus.
What's the device it can't find?
Well, it doesn't really say. I mean, it says Windows Registry or System INI file refers to device, and then it shows the Norton Utility where it's loaded, the Norton Utility.
Right.
So, I mean, I've gone into the...
What's the specific file name and where it shows?
Yeah, it will give you a specific file name
within the INI.
Right. I mean, I press the enter button. It says press the enter button and you can still run it, and still comes up.
We're not making ourselves clear. In that error message, there is a file name. What is that file name?
Must be the Norton Utility.
No, it'll be something .exe or something .com or something .ddl.
No, it's System INI.
Yeah, but it's usually a file within System INI that they say is causing an issue.
It doesn't show it.
Read us the whole error message.
Okay. It says, cannot find a device file that may be needed to run Windows or Windows application. The Windows Registry or System INI file refers to this device file, but the device file no longer exists. If you deleted this file on purpose, try uninstalling the associated application using the uninstall or setup program. If you still want to use the application associated with
it, keeps saying this file, this application. It has to tell you what it's referring to.
No, it's Windows 95 had this issue, and I've seen it. I know what he's talking about.
How about in the top of the error box,
right
above all the text?
Title bar.
There wasn't anything above that.
No, I've seen this.
In the blue bar?
What you might want to try to do is uninstall Norton.
Uh-huh.
And, shut it down, bring it back up, and try doing a reinstall of Norton.
I did that. See, when I uninstalled it, the message didn't come up anymore. When I reinstalled it again, the message came up again.
Sounds like a bad install.
What, are you installing it from a CD?
No, the floppies. I'm going right in through the control panel, add and remove.
Yeah, but you have it on floppy, not on CD.
Yeah, it's like 10 disks. Yeah,
it is. It's possible, one of two things is possible. You could have a bad floppy. You could have a dirty floppy disk drive.
Okay.
Do you smoke?
No.
Do you have animals?
Yes.
Yeah. It might not hurt to go out and buy a disk cleaning kit.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to run it very often because it cleans by scraping bits off of the read head.
Right.
But doing that once in a while is not a bad thing. What it sounds like to me is that you have a corrupted installation. If it's happened multiple times, then it's either the diskettes or the drive itself that's not reading things quite correctly.
It could be one specific file on one disk.
Exactly.
The file it's asking for.
What's the difference? I mean, and what's the chances of it? And I think a long time ago before I had to reinstall all the software, I had to go into the system edit, or I had to go into one of the files and put an REM in front of one of them because there's already a antivirus that came with the computer.
All right, yeah, you...
That you need to uninstall completely. Don't just rem out the auto-exec. You need to uninstall that program.
Right, so if there's already one running, that could easily cause this problem. The one that's running thinks the other one's a virus and won't let it load.
Okay.
So if you've got two of them in there, that's bad.
It is, what came on it was Medikit, MEDI/KIT.
Right. Then what you need to do is uninstall that again through the add remove programs.
It doesn't show up in there.
Then look in the start button under programs.
Okay.
There should be a folder with that program group, they're called when they're in the start button.
Okay.
With that Medikit in it.
Okay.
That should have an unremove program as part of it.
Okay.
Not unremove, or remove.
Unremove would be uninstall. Yeah, okay, sure.
Okay. Uninstalling, sure. Look for it there.
But that should do it. Okay?
Also check in the startup group. Make sure it's not also getting loaded in there.
Okay. Right?
And then do, again, the sysedit. Make sure lines aren't referenced in the config file.
Right, but if you uninstall it, those will all go away.
Good enough.
Okie doke.
Thank you.
Sure. Our next caller, Joe from Irondequoit. Welcome, Joe. What's your question?
Hey, I want to compliment you guys, first of all, on a great show.
Thank you.
It's very necessary, and you solve a lot of our problems.
My pleasure.
Appreciate it.
Quickie for you. I got a Inspiron 5000 Dell I bought.
Nice machines, aren't they?
Yeah, I love them.
Yeah.
I don't know why anybody would not want anything other than a Dell, but anyway.
There's another unsolicited testimonial. Your check will be in the mail from Dell.
Question is, I was thinking of updating. I bought 128 RAM for it. Megabytes, and I was thinking of updating it. I was just wondering, you know, Dell sells RAM, and their prices seem a little bit higher than CompUSA and surrounding stores. And I was just wondering, once you figure out the right RAM to buy, is all RAM created equal?
Pretty much so. I mean, you get some of them like IBM that are very proprietary, but as far as the Dell machines and the gateways and the HPs and that, you can more or less pretty much mix in, different types of memory.
Well, you can get some really cheap generic RAM that has no brand on it, or some off-brand RAM that has quality control issues, and you may get bad memory. It may have a lifetime warranty, but who cares if it breaks so often?
The problem is you've got to find somebody who specifically sells RAM for that laptop.
Okay.
You're not going to find...
Is that a standard SODIMM?
I don't remember.
No.
I don't remember the 5000. See, you've got to look and see whether or not some machines sell... You don't buy chips on a stick.
Right.
You buy a special card that plugs in. That's part of where that cost is going.
Okay.
So it may be a little harder than you think because it's a laptop. So many laptops nowadays just you throw in a stick just like you would throw in anything else. But some of them you don't do that, and I honestly don't remember inside the
nap.
Yeah, I don't remember in the 5000. But actually, your manual should tell you.
Yeah, it does.
Not always. Sometimes it just says 128 RAM.
Yeah.
Doesn't tell you if it's PC 133 SOD.
Dell's pretty good though about showing you the diagram where it's located and everything else.
Yeah. Dell does a great job of telling you what it is.
Yeah. So check around. What you want to do is when you go to buy it, whether you go to CrucialTechnologies.com or you go local or whatever you do. Make sure that it says for the Dell Inspiron 5000.
Oh, okay. They specifically say that.
Pony is one that I know the major superstores carry. It's cheaper, and it's got a good warranty on it, and it works in a lot of products.
What was that again?
Pony.
I just read that Par is filing Chapter 11.
Yeah, so don't get Par.
Don't get Par now.
not a good choice.
They had very good memory, but their company folded for some reason.
Okay,
they forgot to pay their bills.
Yeah. A little minor point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Must be another accounting problem.
Yeah. I gotta take a break, Joe. We are done with you. Thank you very much. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with Dave, Steve, Rob, me, Nick, Francesco. Well, I am apparently the only one with the last name. On Soundbite at 1180 WHA.
My mother would appreciate it.
And I must tell you, Steve Ray has one of those numerological oddities that he's got to...
he's got no time for life.
He needs a life. It's very clear.
Well, this is our second month anniversary on Wham. The call letters are 1180, so the 1-1 makes a 2. We start the show at 1-2-2-0. We get done with the show at 2-0-0.
Okay,
Clint, he's definitely stretching, folks.
Too much time on our hands. We're going to go to
I'm not wearing a tutu.
Oh.
Get him bummed.
Thank you, folks. He'll be here all week. Try the veal.
That's why we're doing radio, not TV.
That's right. Our next caller is Dave from Ontario, New York. Welcome, Dave.
Welcome. Gentlemen, great program. Enjoy it very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Quick question on something. I hope this is quick. I have a system at home that I went out and purchased another hard drive for. I have a 20, it's an 8-bit VE6 motherboard, 384 meg from memory, Windows 98 second edition.
Mm-hmm.
Purchased another hard drive. My thinking was it was inexpensive backup. I got a 20 gig in there, and I purchased a 60 gig hard drive. How I was going to back it up was just go to Windows Explorer and click and drag everybody over to the new hard drive.
Wouldn't it be nice if that actually worked?
Well, that would work for your data, but not the system and applications.
For Windows, I've figured that out. But for other stuff that I'm backing up, pictures, games, stuff like that, it's working. It'll go
fine.
That'll work fine.
And so I figured for Windows, I'd just, if the thing ever crashed, I'd just change the jumper on the other drive, use the boot thing.
Nah.
If I ever had to reload Windows again.
No, you leave the jumper where it is, reinstall Windows on the C drive, and then the D drive still has everything.
And that's Microsoft way.
But if my C drive crashed on it and I can't get the operating system to go over there, that's what I'd have to do. No.
Well, then you change your BIOS to boot from the D drive, which then becomes the C, and then you'll have to install Windows on it.
Yeah.
All your applications, but your data will be backed up there.
Anyway, what it's doing is that up to a certain point, as I'm clicking and dragging, things are going over, and then it just locks up tighter in a drum.
Yeah, because what you're trying to do is you're also trying to sit there and then copy programs that are in use, DLLs and everything else that are being used by Windows, and when you try to sit there and copy them from one hard drive to the other, it gives you a fit. The only thing I tell folks to do is worry about the data. Anytime if a hard drive crashes, that's Bill Gates' way of saying, well, it's time you do a clean install anyways.
Given him enough of my money over the years. He's not worried about his next meal anyway, so
exactly.
I don't have any sympathy
but that's about
there.
Actually, he worries about his next meal all the time. That's why Microsoft keeps growing. He worries every day that he's not doing enough.
Right.
But definitely, you're on the right track. I wouldn't worry about backing up the Windows. I would back up any, drivers or that you might get or patches. Because if you have to do a reinstall, if the hard drive does crash, this way you've got those drivers and everything else and patches to reinstall everything fresh, and away you go. But the data is the critical thing. Like you say, those photos that you might have of the family or whatever, it's not easy to get those back once their hard drive has crashed.
What I've done for a lot of the patches and backups, I got download directory, and then I just burn them to a CD, and if I had to do that.
There you go. So
it just is another one. But what I found odd about this thing is that if I boot this to safe mode, it'll crank everything except for Windows.
Because of
Windows directory.
So if files are running.
If I boot to safe mode and do my trick like I was talking about, everything will go.
Right.
Except to Windows.
That's not unusual, Dave.
Because again, Windows is running.
Because I'm not loading all the rest of the
That's exactly right.
That's the thought.
There you go.
All right.
Okay.
I appreciate it. Thanks, gentlemen. Our pleasure.
Thank you. Our next caller is Bernie from Irondequoit. Welcome, Bernie.
Hey. How you doing, guys?
Peachy, how are you? What's your question?
Okay, I have Windows 98 on my system, and about 6 weeks ago, I loaded up some internet software to get online to do a trial, right? I got on, I loaded on once, actually twice, got some funky email I might have opened up or whatever, but now every program on my system has an LNK extension.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
What antivirus program were you running?
Hesitation.
Too late, Bernie. Too late.
You're done.
Yeah.
What you need to do is to go out and buy a commercial version of an antivirus program.
If
you're going to get Norton, don't bother getting SystemWorks because you get a whole bunch of stuff you're not going to load anyway.
Just the antivirus software is all you need.
Right. What you want to do is make sure that whatever you buy has a boot disk. Sometimes it's called a magic bullet.
Mm-hmm.
And what that does is it runs a version of the software off the floppy so that nothing is running on the hard drive and any virus that would have taken over your system is not running.
Okay.
The problem with that, and I just ran into it for a couple of clients, you buy a brand new disk off the shelf, Norton Antivirus 2002, yep. The virus definitions are from September.
Well, yeah. But even so, it's
better than nothing.
It's better than nothing.
Now, run a full scan, update it, and then run a full scan again.
Right.
One second here. I did have on the system, which was probably an older version of Norton Antivirus.
Exactly.
And those have LNK extensions to them, too.
Yeah, the version doesn't matter. It's the date of your virus definition.
Well, then if you've already got Norton on there, then all you've got to do is go to their website and renew your subscription. You can renew it for a year, and then you'll download the latest DAT files, run a thorough scan then, and then that should get rid of your problem.
Okay.
So you don't have to go out and buy another product if you've already got a current version.
Yeah, the other spin on the whole thing is that after I loaded on to the Internet once or twice, then from that time on, besides having this LNK, thing with the programs.
Yeah, you're infected.
Not only was I infected with that, but my modem's blowing out. I can't get my modem to react correctly, so I have a new modem that I'm going to install here.
There you go.
I just don't know.
It may not be the modem. It may be the software drivers for the modem have been corrupted by the virus.
Right, exactly.
Even if I go into systems, it says that everything's working properly?
Of course it would, because the virus is making it say that.
It
doesn't want it to get you out to the Internet so you can sit there and correct it. Adding a new modem to your system may not correct the problem, because the virus is going to corrupt those drivers the way it did the original drivers. May be that you can coincidentally blew out your modem, but it's not likely. Coincidences always bother me.
Yeah. See, I'm able to run, like, my database. I run Act 4 on here, and I could still go into my documents and open Word through another path.
Bernie, I have three words for you. Tick, tick, tick.
Oh, something's going to happen.
Sir. You're just gambling with time.
Uh-huh. Most viruses have an execution or trigger date. Dave was mentioning the CIH virus that triggers on the 26th of the month.
Right.
It's waiting for some event, some date to happen. Sometimes it's like the 75th launch, and then it will execute.
It's like the old Pram oil filter commercial. I love that commercial. You can pay me now, or you can pay me later.
Yeah.
Bernie, what you want to do is find an instant quick fix. The reality is you need to go out and buy a commercial version of some antivirus program and run their magic bullet disk. That's the start of the process.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you've got left to do. Once you've done that, reboot the system, get yourself back online without running anything else, get to the net and download the latest virus definitions for that new virus checker you just bought, and then run a thorough scan one more time. Only then are you safe to run other programs.
Okay.
I hate to tell you that, but we're talking about fixing a problem. And if you go to the hospital for a broken leg, they don't make you dance until you learn to walk.
Gotcha. All right, let me try that. I'll go after it in that direction now. I had all kinds of advice from other folks, but just...
That's where you got to start there.
Yeah.
Okie doke.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Thank you so much. We're going to take a quick break. If you're on the line, hold on. If you're not on the line, why not? We'll be back in just a number of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, on Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM. The joy, the excitement, the naked thrill that is Sound Bites is back. Before we get back to the phones, if you're on the phone, please be patient a little longer. We're going to talk about the poll, this week's poll. As you know, we run a website called soundbites.org. You can get to us by going to 1180WHAM.com. See, I look up at the sign where it says WHAM 1180, and for some reason I always put it backwards. WHAM 1180.com, and then go to the main page, and on the lower left-hand side are our lovely pictures, which takes you to a page about us, and then that page will take you to our homepage, where you will find this week's poll. We do a poll every week. Last week's poll was brought to us by LJ O'Neill. Thank you, LJ. If you have, by the way, a poll idea, please, for God's sake, send it to me. I've been doing polls for how many years now, and I'm kind of running out of ideas. So send me your poll ideas to pollideas@soundbites.org. Last week's poll was about computers. The winner with 83 votes has become a new hobby. The next one with 51 votes, the slave is now the master. followed by Simplified My Life and Made My Life More Complicated, which almost had the same number of votes. We had 201 people vote in the poll. God bless each and every one of you. We'd love to have all of you vote in the poll, and particularly this week's poll, and particularly our friends Argyle and Bon Vivre from the forums. We have a set of forums where you can leave questions and get answers and meet other Soundbites fanatics. But both of these folks are very interested in the return of the Soundbites archives, which we used to have and do not now. So this week's poll asks a question: which would you prefer first? And before you start giving me any slack, I haven't even looked. Well, one of our polls is why this week's poll, one of our forums is why this week's poll stinks on ice. I'm sure there'll be something in there about that. Now, I'm saying not which would you prefer only, but which would you prefer to see first? And the choices are a live audio stream, archives of the current shows, or I'd like to see it live in my city. The interesting thing to me so far is that with only 43 votes on, up so far, there are 10 of them for on the air in my city, which means there are 10 people who cannot even hear the show who have voted for it. And I want to know why you, who are listening right now, have not voted. It's soundbites.org. Vote in the poll. We would love to get lots and lots of voters.
And we would also like to encourage folks to please register at our board and within the forums and that. We don't ask a lot of information. We don't pass on the information, you know, selling names and everything else. But just put in your name, register, create a username, and tell us where you're from. I mean, we just had a person this past week from Chile. The country Chile, not Chile, but the actual country of Chile register. So just put in where you're from and have some fun.
Yeah, so there are currently 23 people online, one of them from Houghton, and most of them local. So please vote in the poll at soundbites.org. We're going to go back to the phones now here on Soundbites Live, coming to you live over 1180 WHAM. Our first caller, Barry from Scottsville. Welcome, Barry. What's your question?
All right, first off, I've got a comment.
Okay.
One of the early callers that was having trouble with Norton antivirus and Windows 95.
Yep.
You should probably find out, or he should check to see if he's running the original 95 and not 95B.
Good point.
Yeah.
Norton, the later versions of it will not install an original because I still run 95 myself. I went through that on a computer where I tried to do it, and it needed 95B.
Thank you very much.
Also, yeah. It just sparked my memory. Norton 2002 doesn't officially support 95. It says it requires 98. So he could have two newer versions for his 95.
Yeah.
Right. But there are a number of programs that won't run under original 95 also.
That's an excellent point. Thank you, Barry.
Thank you very much.
And there was, I don't know if it's still there, there's a downloadable service pack 1 for Windows 95 that will update you to 95A. That was the only service pack you could get.
Yeah, they're gone now.
Probably gone, but it was there.
All right, go ahead with your question.
Yeah, actually, I've got a problem with 95. I just did a clean install. I had a problem with the CD-ROM drive and tried to reinstall. That corrupted everything.
Mm-hmm.
I replaced the CD-ROM drive, reformatted, reinstalled Windows 95, and about 2 weeks after I did that, the computer will not shut down from Windows. I've tried kind of all the normal things, but have you got any ideas? I know that there was a patch on 98 to eliminate the fast shutdown, but this is 95.
What it most likely is something in your taskbar down in the lower right-hand corner.
Yeah, I tried turning everything off. It will shut off from safe mode, but it won't shut off.
How are you connected to the Internet?
Roadrunner.
It is very likely that either the connection itself or something in the background is still connecting.
Mm-hmm.
Do you, by any chance...
You're running a firewall?
Yes, black ice.
Okay.
That's good. And did it at any chance, if you look through there, do you see anything like click to win or anything that looks
bad,
unusual, coupon.com, things like that?
Bonzi
Buddy.
I get some of the emails from
Comet
those.
Cursor.
No, don't.
See, here's
don't
what happens. Now, there are Barry. There are a number of programs that you can download that are free, quote free. Unfortunately, what they really are is spyware.
Right.
The program is fine, but the installer comes from another company that installs its own spyware. And what it sounds like, what it clearly is something is still running. and connecting you to the network. Now, the question is, what is it? Mm-hmm. One thing you should probably do is take a quick look at a product called AdAware.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to our website at soundbites.org, you will see down in the lower right corner a box labeled FAQs. And one of them is, I heard a website on your show.
Mm-hmm.
If you go there, you will see a link in the alphabetical section. It's one of the first ones for a product called AdAware. If you download that, by the way, one of our listeners asked me, I don't have the email in front of me, so I don't remember who it was. I apologize. Wanted me to remind folks that if you download the newest version of AdAware, it works like antivirus programs. You can update it with anti-spyware definitions as opposed to downloading a whole new version. So download that, install it, get the latest updates, run it, and see if that doesn't solve your problem.
Okay, thank you very much.
There you go.
Last time I scanned my daughter's computer, I had 7,000 viruses and 65 spy programs.
Yeah.
and that was a week after I updated Norton.
Exactly, exactly. Our next caller is Lou from Fairport. Welcome, Lou. What's your question?
Hi, Nick. Yes, I have a question about defragging.
Yeah.
I do the D drive, and it goes through okay from 0 to 100.
Mm-hmm.
Says it's done.
Right.
And then I go to the C drive.
It keeps timing out.
30-something hours, and it never got off to 0%.
Right. What you've got to do is, if you try to run that in normal mode, it won't run. It keeps timing out and stopping. What you want to do is when you reboot the machine, hold down the control key if you're running Windows 98, and get it to start in safe mode. From safe mode, you can then run the defrag and scan disk, no problem. It's a well-known, undocumented issue with Windows 98.
Something's running in Windows because Windows is running, and it prevents defrag from completing, so it has to start over again.
And it keeps starting.
Usually you get an error message that it started over 10 times. Do you want to keep going? And somewhere along the line you must have said yes.
Yeah.
No, I'm getting any error message.
Yeah, but go ahead and start it in safe mode. I guarantee it'll work.
Just hold down the control button?
Yeah, if you're running Windows 98.
Right.
Hold down the control key while it's rebooting. It'll bring you up with the menu and get you right into safe mode.
How much free space is on your C drive?
Oh, probably about 2 gigabytes.
Okay. Yeah, the more free space you have, the faster defrag will run. So if it's a very, very full hard drive, it could take 30, 40 hours.
Okay.
But with 2 gigs free, that should be enough. Well,
but if it never gets over 0%, yeah, then there's a definite problem somewhere.
Yep.
Yeah, it never gets off of the 0. The D is okay.
Yep.
But the C will not do it.
Do it that
try
way.
That.
Try that. Let us know.
Okay. Thanks a lot, guys.
You know?
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Lou. Our next caller is Bill from East Rochester. Welcome, Bill. What's your question?
Yes, thank you for taking the call, and AQ dittos to Nick.
Thank you so much.
Nick, I'm going to be in the market for a new computer. I'm currently using 4D6 with 311.
yeah,
you are in the market.
All right.
Yeah. They're dragging me kicking and screaming into the 21st century. Basically, I own some software that will not run on XP.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have the option of having a processor built with an option to purchase it installed with 98 or 2000. Now, just curious on your opinion of the two operating systems, 98 or 2000, which you have a personal preference for.
Is this going into a business or a home?
Basically,
or a home business.
Home.
That confuses it.
Yeah, I'd say 98.
Especially home.
Can I get the answer?
Yeah.
Is this going into your home or into a business?
Well, it's going to be in a laptop, so it could be for both.
And what sort of network?
Primarily home.
What sort of network, when you bring it into a business, will you be hooking it into their network?
No network.
Okay, then. You can do 98 with no trouble.
Yeah, 2000 is a more advanced operating system, but it has
And much more secure.
Much more secure. It has other issues, but one of the biggest issues is there's no DOS. You have a command prompt, but you can't really run DOS.
The real big issue is that 2000 kind of forces you to become your own system administrator.
That's the biggest thing I was going to say.
You'll have multiple logons, one of which can do everything, one of which can only run stuff.
Right.
But so it's safer, certainly.
And if you have a program that only runs in DOS, then it won't, 99% won't work on 2000.
And like I was going to say, and that's why I jumped in and say 98 right away, is because he's going from Windows 3.1.1. Very few folks even remember that, and that's going to be a big shock just going to Windows 98.
Windows 98, what you want to do is you're going to go out and buy a brand new copy of SE.
right?
Or have make sure second edition comes with the machine.
Or make sure second edition comes, and make sure you get a disc with it for
right.
SE.
Right.
And then the first thing you want to do is go and update everything. Get the machine running perfectly with all the updates before you install your software. That is ultra important.
And that may take quite a while. Go to the Windows Update from the Start menu. It'll find a bunch of updates. Run it again and again and again and again until it says no critical updates.
Okay.
Right.
Because
you're
some
only,
of them are relied on other ones.
Right. You only need the critical updates. You know, it'll want to update things like the Windows Messenger and the Euro conversion. Well, if you don't need those, don't bother.
Okay.
But as far as you want all the critical updates and then some driver updates depending on what system you've got.
Depending on when the CD was burned, it might come with IE 5.0. You should at least upgrade to 5.5. And then
assuming you can even do that anymore.
Yeah, I think so. And there's patches for 5.5 to fix bugs in it.
Okay. Last question. if I'm going to be using the Internet going forward with this new machine, what do you recommend in terms of software for firewall and other possible needs that you might not have in the basic package of software?
In a laptop, I would suggest either... Your best bet from my point of view is Zone Alarm. It's from ZoneAlarm.com. Again, you can find
Zone
that
Labs.
Link.
Zone Labs,
or now you can go to ZoneAlarm.com. It'll take you to Zone Labs. You can download that from them. There's a free version and a pay version. The free version works fine for most people without a problem. And what's nice about that is it's not only a firewall that prevents other people from getting to you, it's a firewall that prevents unauthorized programs from going out.
Okay.
So whenever a program wants to go out the first time, excuse me, it'll come up and say, Zone Alarm will stop and say, X program is trying to get to the net. Do you want it to? And then you can say yes or no, and you can also say, remember my choice.
Okay, what about for a desktop?
Same.
Yeah, and okay. I'd also recommend the Adaware.
Adaware?
Adaware, which we talked about a little earlier. It's also listed on our website.
All right.
Adaware at lavasoft.de. And what there, like I said, there's a link on our website in the frequently asked question, lower right. If you go to lower right, there's a box called FAQs,
great.
Frequently asked question.
Thanks a lot. Congratulations on your show.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
You.
I appreciate it. Love hearing that. Our next caller on Sound Bites will be Jack. From Canandaigua. Welcome, Jack. What's your question?
Thank you. First of all, I'd like to congratulate you guys on your popularity.
Thank you.
It's taken me 3 weeks to get through.
Yeah, that's probably the only problem of a big station.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I have got an older computer that I would like to turn into a file server for home use.
Sure. Great purpose for it.
Yeah, but I bought this computer... Back in the days when, who's going to need over 48 meg of RAM?
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is the maximum that I can upgrade it to. And the NOS that I want to install requires at least 64, and I would like to go to 128 minimum.
Yes, you would.
Yeah, and I was wondering if you knew of any way around this. I've checked for BIOS updates
Sometimes the memory maximums were based on what was available at the time. So you could put two 16s in because no one made anything bigger than 16.
Right. Yeah, well, it may work.
Well, it may work if you put a bigger memory card into it. It just may not have known about it back then.
Oh, okay.
But then there's the risk that if you buy something, it may not work.
Yeah, but
whether it's parity, non-parity.
Right, if it's an older 30-pin or 72-pin SIM, the prices on those are actually going way up because no one's making them anymore.
Yeah.
You might have better luck, you know, digging around some of the used markets or even something like eBay and trying to get something really cheap in case it doesn't work.
And on the other hand, however, an alternative is that a new motherboard, particularly if you're looking at a low end, a new motherboard is not tremendously expensive these days.
No, it's not.
Yeah, well, I just hate to get too much into the hardware build-it-yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you're only talking about replacing the motherboard and the RAM, you're talking...
The CPU, maybe.
Well, and the CPU, yeah. Absolutely, but you're still talking well under $200.
Yeah, that's true.
But then that old of a machine, he's got to find something that's going to work in an ATX or an AT case, because that's not ATX.
Right. So but again, at least you got some choices there.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Oh, and not everyone shares your enthusiasm for Dell laptops, too.
No, I understand. You know what? That's what makes horse races.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
That's exactly right.
But of course, if Dell wanted to give us a laptop to try out, I'd be willing to try it.
I'm willing to try it for a couple of years. We're going to take a quick break while the folks at Dell mull that over. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave, Steve, Rob, Linton, and me, Nick, on Soundbites at 1180. WHAM. I feel so young when he calls us the boys.
Yeah, the boys.
The boys. We're taking your calls, and we're going to talk to Brian from Fairport. Welcome, Brian. What's your question?
Hey, boys. How you doing?
We're good, Dad. Thanks.
Okay. Hey, great show.
Thank you.
Thank you. You touched on a couple of my questions. I'll try to be quick. I used the free zone alarm. Why would you pay for one? What am I not getting with a free one?
Almost support. Nothing. Yeah, you're not getting support, but almost nothing you don't need as a home user.
Okay. Yeah, wasn't it? It's for commercial uses, you have to pay for it.
Okay, next question is, did I hear you correctly a couple weeks ago saying that with Windows 98, any more than 256 RAM might actually slow it down?
That's a rumor that goes around all the time. In fact, any version of Windows above 95 can read 4 gig of RAM. What you're really going to run into a problem with involves the speed of the RAM and the speed of the processor. The more RAM you have, the longer it takes to clean out the garbage and move around the buffers and get to dirty buffers. So, in fact, with a slower machine, too much RAM can slow it down.
And doesn't really, and most programs won't utilize it.
Well, I've got a 900 processor with a 40 gig drive, and I had two 256 chips in there, and I just took one out last night, and I don't think it's my imagination. It seems to be faster.
Yeah, it's very possible, particularly if those two RAM chips were mismatched in some way.
Okay.
It might be that you had one 133 and one 100. You took out the 100, and the system speeds up because it goes up to 133.
Now, since you got a 900 megahertz, you can always go to XP, no problem, and put that other 256 back in, and XP will utilize it.
Yeah, okay, I like 98 for now.
But
my other question, you mentioned AdAware and
Zone Alarm.
The other one is WinRAM Turbo. Mm-hmm. I have questions of, will those work in the background, or do you have to do it manual? And does the WinRAM Turbo work? Because the meters don't convince me it's really doing
that. AdAware works when you click on it, so you want to run it once a day or whatever.
Okay.
You know, maybe just before you shut down.
There's a checkbox, so it will run when you start up.
Yeah,
so.
Right, but running when you start, it means that, you know, you had all this stuff yesterday and it's still in there. I suppose it doesn't matter. But as far as any of these turbo RAM booster things, I've never known one that really did the job it was supposed to do. If you gain anything in speed, you lose it to the processing cycles that are being used to run the turbo boosting program.
But it's got a neat meter that you can watch.
It's got great meters, and, you know, I can write a program with meters, too.
Yeah, it says freeing RAM, and it doesn't seem to change the resources
at all. Exactly. Well, don't take up cycles.
Okay.
It's silly.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
Our next caller is Joe from Brighton. Welcome, Joe. What's your question?
I'm running Windows 2000, and I've got the My Party virus.
Ouch!
And it's in my msstask.exe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I looked on the internet, and it says the cure is you need to do all control delete and then select process and then end the task and then delete the file.
Yeah, that really doesn't work when it's the task manager that's the problem.
Yeah, I click on it, I put end process in it, and it says access denied.
Right.
So what do I do?
You can't do that. What antivirus program are you running?
Mac, I ran a Norton 2000, and it is updated. Right.
And it's not fixing it?
No, it can't because
it won't allow me to.
This is where you need that magic bullet program.
Yeah.
That we were talking about earlier, boot disk with the antivirus program on it. Now, unfortunately, you cannot create one on your system because you are infected. You either need to buy a commercial version of the product with the boot disk on it, which now gives you two versions of the product, or you need to find somebody else who's running the software, or you need to run it on another machine and create a boot disk. Doesn't matter. Well, now you got a problem with FAT and TFS.
You got to find somebody running 2000.
Yeah.
Okay, so I got to find somebody that's running
Windows 2000.
Windows 2000.
And have them make you a boot disk. Make sure their machine is not infected.
Right.
And you've got to have them create a boot disk for you so then you can go back. And make sure when you make this boot disk that you push the little write protect up so nothing can get written to it. Then you can take that back to your machine, boot from there.
On a cold boot, power down before you boot. Otherwise, viruses stay in memory.
You got to write protect the disk. In other words, on the back side of the disk, there's a little lever. You got to shove that up so nothing else can get written to it.
Right.
And go ahead and do a cold boot from your machine from there. That way the memory won't, you know, the virus won't get loaded into memory.
Okay.
Then you can do the scan.
Do you have Norton on CD, or was it just downloaded from the Internet?
I had it on the CD, and then it's been... you mean the Norton 2000?
Yeah, and it should have come with
I have that on a CD.
You should be able to boot from that CD if your BIOS is new enough.
If my BIOS is what?
New enough. That may do it for you. If you boot from the CD, that's got the Magic Bullet
program on it.
Oh, it's called Magic Bullet?
No, it isn't. It's just called Scan Now or something.
Scan Now?
Basically, scan the disk from the CD.
Emergency scan, I think Norton called it.
Yeah, emergency scan. That's it on Norton.
But the problem there is that because the virus definitions on the CD are old, it may not catch a new virus you have.
It may not catch Party.
Right.
It definitely won't catch Party.
So you may have... Now we get into issues. You may have to install Norton on a clean machine, make a rescue disk with the current virus definitions, and then run it on your machine to clean it.
Yep.
Because you need to have those latest definitions.
Okay, that last one confused me just a little. I'm close, though. But
you may be able to run Norton from your CD once you boot from a floppy. I'm sorry. Run scan off the hard drive, which uses the latest definitions, unless the virus has damaged Norton in some way.
Try that first. Boot the CD and run it from there and see what happens.
Okay, so boot my system from the Norton CD.
Right. And try running the emergency scan from there and see
what
happens.
But that is definitely still not going to get rid of the Party virus because that is...
It might if, in fact, it goes to the hard drive and finds the latest definitions, which it will. Try to do.
Yeah.
So try that first. If it works, you win. If it doesn't, then you have to make a boot disk on somebody else's machine.
From somebody else that has Windows 2000.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then boot off of that.
Yeah.
Right.
And then once I boot off of that, then...
You might be able to get into the Norton subdirectory on the hard drive and run this scan from there.
Maybe.
So your worst common denominator is to install your version of Norton on someone else's machine, update the virus definitions, create a rescue disk, and then delete Norton from the other person's machine because basically it's been done illegally. But once you get a rescue disk, is what Norton calls it, it will boot the machine and have the latest of definitions on it. You can go to your computer and clean it up by booting from that disk.
I think so.
Okay,
I got just enough information to
be dangerous
to really get myself into deep trouble.
Exactly.
But
have fun.
Right.
Good luck.
I'm further along than I was, and I appreciate your help. Thank you.
No problem, Joe. Thanks. Our next caller is Bob from Rochester. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
How are you guys doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good. That last caller there made me think. What would be the best antivirus that you guys would suggest? To, you know, scan your system, pick out what's wrong with it, and then get rid of it.
There's a number of commercial ones out there that I think all three of us would agree on, like McAfee, Norton, Inoculant. They're all commercial grade, that you can buy, you know, at any of the superstores or whatever.
Okay.
That do a very good job. The key thing, though, is, you know, you can have a great product, but if you don't go and update it, it doesn't do
regularly.
I've always liked Norton because you can schedule an automatic update.
Oh, you
can with McAfee.
You can now with McAfee.
6.0 McAfee will allow you to do that.
What is that? What is it, McAfee?
McAfee antivirus or Norton
antivirus.
Norton antivirus.
And okay. Just
McAfee virus scan. Sorry.
Yeah, that's all you need is the virus scan part of it. Some of them throw in all these other utilities, Crash Guard, SafeBoot, and all this other stuff. Just the virus program. It's all you need.
Norton is available at Symantec.com.
Okay.
And McAfee is available at either NAI.com or McAfee.com.
Do you suggest downloading it from the site or going out to buy it?
My preference is you go out to buy it because you get that recovery or emergency disk, the magic bullet disk, and that's a better deal.
And if the hard drive happens to crash, now you've got the CD to reinstall everything.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good point.
The problem is 99% of the people, you can make a recovery or emergency disk with the downloaded version. I don't know anybody who ever has.
And the installer tells you to, but it gives you the option to skip it.
Right. And so consequently, when people call us, it's too late. Once you've got a virus, it's too late to make the disk.
Right.
Well, so your homework, Bob, and everybody listening, is once you have installed and updated your antivirus software, make the emergency disk now.
Okay.
And you should update it periodically.
Right.
Well, let me ask you this, guys. If you have, if your machine already has some sort of a virus, can you still get rid of it?
Yes.
Yes, but you need that emergency disk.
Okay.
Because most of the viruses nowadays would prevent you. It would look like you installed your antivirus software. It would even look like it ran correctly.
Yep. Right.
But it wouldn't have because it was being spoofed by the virus software, which is already in control of your system.
Oh, I see.
Okie doke.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much. We are going to take another break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton on the buttons, and me, Nick Francesco on 1180 WHAM. Yes, here is Nick Francesco. Sitting next to him is Dave Enright. Sitting next to him is Steve Ray. And sitting behind the big glass barrier, Rob Linton playing with the buttons.
Keeps us in line.
That's right. We're taking your computer calls, and our next call is Steve from Palmyra. Welcome, Steve. What's your question?
Thank you. Just a quick question. What's the best kind of joystick to get for an older type machine? It's a 233 Pentium 2. It's running Windows 95. A lot of the games and stuff are 95, but we're getting some 98s as well. Is there a joystick out there that works old and new?
There's very little difference between the old and the new systems. The big difference is going to be what features the game wants.
Yeah, what they can take advantage of.
And one of the big differences is in the connection of the joystick. The old joysticks went into that DB15 joystick port.
Right.
Most of the new joysticks are USB.
USB.
Right. So what you need to do, and what is your operating system?
98.
It's 95 Windows.
Then you have no USB.
Yeah.
So you're stuck with the version that runs that on the DB15 connector, off the game port.
Okay.
So that kind of limits you. Yeah. But what you want to do is look for, A, something that actually fits into that connector, and, B, that will actually then go out and that will give you the most number of features.
No, you know what this is justification for?
New computer.
Yeah.
A lot of the games.
Sorry, but you know,
PlayStation 2.
Yeah, you want to play the games, you got to go out and get a new computer. I mean, you know, you got to set your priorities.
A lot of the games will have recommended controllers that work best with that game, but unfortunately, you probably won't find a single joystick that works best with all games.
Right.
Okay. I appreciate the information.
Our pleasure.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next caller, Keith from Farmington. Welcome, Keith. What's your question?
Nick, how you doing?
Peachy, how are you?
More of a comment. I'm the only person on the face of the earth that bought Windows ME.
Oh! Rob, please pot down Dave's mic while we talk to Keith.
I called you a couple weeks ago getting your input on Opera, if it would work with ME. Pardon me?
Yes. Yep.
And I've got to say, you guys have elevated me up to geekdom.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
Well, see, I've always said that everyone needs...
Did you break your glasses and tape them?
Everyone needs to be a guru to somebody. Find someone that you can help, and it's really neat.
Yeah.
I went there. I put plastic on my cloth seat on my desk chair. I went there to Opera, and I hit the Do You Want to Download button and waited to come out of the machine. I downloaded it, installed it, and I'm telling you, Opera is the greatest thing that I think I've ever put on my computer.
It's the hottest thing since laser sliced bread, isn't it?
I'm telling you, it makes Internet Explorer look pathetic. I mean, some of
most people don't even know there are other options.
Yeah, I know. They either think Netscape or Internet Explorer.
What Keith is talking about is a program called Opera. It's a web browser like Internet Explorer or Netscape.
But far cooler.
It is much smaller, much faster, much more compatible with everything you could conceivably ever want to download.
Even that one system that I don't like.
Even the one system you don't like. Other programs such as Microsoft's own Internet Explorer, which don't run as well as you might like on Windows, run great. Opera runs great on it, doesn't it?
Well, a couple of the features that I don't know how well you guys know about it or your listeners. I'm sure very few of your listeners are aware of it. Some of the features that if you want to load a page and you know it's got a lot of pictures, but you don't care about the pictures, you want the information, you click the camera icon. And only text will load, and your images won't. So it
You can set it to not load cookies from third parties. You can set it to not load pop-up windows. Thank you very much.
Well, the problem with the pop-up windows, everybody assumes that all the little extraneous ads you get are pop-up windows, which they are. But also, Opera recognizes when you go to click on your address book from Hotmail, even though I don't look at it as a pop-up window, it's looked at as a pop-up window and it wouldn't come up.
Bingo.
Right.
I didn't think it didn't work with Opera until I said accept pop-up windows, and the address book worked fine. And the other thing I found, there are some sites that have JavaScript written that's proprietary for that site that it doesn't work on. But other than that, the site is fantastic. And the other nice thing is, I got a somewhat crappy system, and I can run Internet Explorer and Opera at the same time, so I can bounce back from different sites that offer different features for IE.
Yeah, it's very small, very lean, doesn't require much resources.
Great product. And for those of you who are interested in checking it out, if you go to www.soundbites.org, go down to the lower right where you see the FAQ box. There's a link for I heard a website on your show, that takes you to a list of the programs we've mentioned. And if you go down the alphabetical list on the right, you will see Opera Web Browser there. Thanks, Keith. That's a great... that's a great recommendation for a terrific little browser.
Even for a guy running ME still.
And it was our pleasure to show it to you. Our next caller is Mike from Rochester. Welcome, Mike. What's your question?
Hi. It's regarding the same kind of Norton question that the fellow who had 95. I have 98. And I had the same message at the time of logging on that he got. And I'm just not able to... and I did download Norton from the net... last Sunday, and it has had this problem ever since then.
Have you? Now that's interesting. I'm wondering if, of course, I haven't heard any news about it.
No.
But I'm wondering if there was a bad update from Norton.
Maybe I downloaded. I downloaded a version a couple weeks ago and haven't had any.
Right.
Trouble.
Have you tried re-downloading it?
Well, no, I haven't tried re-downloading it. I did try an update, if you will.
Okay.
And it updated everything except definitions. And also when I go in and try to check different things like quarantine and rescue, it won't, it'll just, I'm trying to see exactly the words that are used, but it won't update, if you will.
Yeah, it sounds like you've got a bad
install. Yes. Error with quarantine, error with rescue.
Yeah, it sounds like it was a bad download. Try re-downloading it. See if you had a corrupted...
Uninstall it and then try re-downloading it.
Yeah, well, you can re-download it, then uninstall it and reinstall it. It sounds like it was a bad download as to whether it was their corruption or just yours when you downloaded it.
Okay.
You can't know until you try again.
You may already have a virus, and it won't let Norton finish installing.
And
that's
true.
That's a concern that I have.
Yep.
That's true. Again, now you've got to do what we talked about, is making a rescue disk on somebody else's machine. Okey-doke?
Okay.
Thanks a lot. Our next caller is Dave from Fairport. Welcome, Dave. What's your question?
Hi, guys. I've got a Windows 95 problem. Had a PC from a friend that got hit with a virus. I reinstalled Windows 95. It's a compact computer. It's got an internal modem on it. And when I attempt to use the internal modem, I get a message that says the modem is being used by another dial-up networking connection. And I can't figure out how to get rid of that.
Did you install any fax software?
No.
That often uses it, other connections.
Compact also has a phone system in it.
Telephone answering machine software,
yeah. Is the telephone answering machine software running?
No, this is a completely vanilla Windows 95.
Did you reload a generic Windows 95?
Yes,
or did you reload the compact restore disk?
The generic.
That may be the problem.
Yeah.
You may be missing some of the compact
drivers.
What do I do about that?
You can, if you don't have, you can order a restore disk from Compaq for that specific model computer.
Okay.
Which will have everything it originally came with and all
do
the proprietary drivers.
Complete restore.
You may be able to go to Compaq's website and download specific drivers, but that restore disk is the best way to go.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that answers that question.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. Our next caller is Dave from Fairport. Welcome, Dave. What's your question?
No, Taylor. Taylor from Rochester?
Taylor from Rochester. Welcome, Taylor. What's your question?
Hey, guys. Listen, I have a basic email question here. All of a sudden, I changed providers, and I'm getting incredible amounts of spam. And I logged on today, and it really crossed the line. I mean, today was just...
It's almost impossible to get rid of spam at this point, Taylor. There are a couple of sites on the net, spamkillers.com. Can give you some tips that will take you a while to get working. You've got to be patient, but give that a try. And I'm afraid we are now out of time. I apologize. I must have missed a break signal.
Yeah, really?
We'll be back next Saturday at 12:20 p.m. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton on the phones. I'm Nick Francesco. We'll be back next week. God bless America. This is Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.